This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue in 1 Timothy with great apostasy, trained in the words of the faith, close watch, instructions for God's household, and rules for widows. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
for the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Shepherd of your people, you raised up James the just, brother of our Lord, to lead and guard your church. Grant that we may follow his example of prayer and reconciliation, and be strengthened by the witness of his death. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The epistle for the feast of St. James is from the Epistle of James, chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Coming to his hometown, Jesus taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished, and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And after an extensive teaching before this text on the kingdom of heaven through many parables, saying such things as the kingdom of heaven is unlike kingdoms of the way of man, that it's sown by the word, that it's hidden in the midst of sin and evil, like a mustard seed, a little leaven, a buried treasure, or a dear pearl, a net thrown into the sea. After teaching all of these things, our Lord now returns to his hometown to teach. Because he who has ears, let him hear. So he teaches. And his words are met with their words. Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? They're astonished. And their astonishment is not one of faith, but of unbelief. Who is this teacher? Who is this Jesus? Well, they think they know. And they do know his family. They do know Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? They're scandalized by him, and they receive him not. Our Lord went from parables on the kingdom of heaven, utterances of what had been hidden from of old, now to the place of his upbringing, from what is known only by faith through the word of God, to what was before the eyes of that community, those who knew. His mother, his father, his family, the people of Nazareth who knew that community well and who had heard all the rumors, knew the dirty laundry that had been aired, discussed these things in the fields, the Friday night football game, in the grocery store lines, around the water coolers, at their dinner tables, and in the narthex. They thought they knew. And what their eyes beheld was not the kingdom of heaven, but this Jesus. So they received him not. And our Lord says a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. For the kingdom of heaven is for the Jews, but it is not the Jews alone. The kingdom of heaven is in Nazareth, but it is not Nazareth. The kingdom of heaven is in the family of Joseph and Mary, but it's not this family. And where is St. James in all of this? The episode in Nazareth is by no means a hagiography of James. In fact, the gospel reading mentions little of him other than that he was named. We hear nothing from him. And perhaps that's because he's absent, not present there at all, in another place. Or perhaps he is there, but he's silent. And whether he's there and silent, does that mean then that his silence is consent to the unbelief of the people? Silence is certainly not confession for James. There's no "here I stand with Jesus." There's no confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When our Lord's mother and brothers sought to speak to him earlier, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And furthermore, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Which so far sounds pretty bad for James. For he is not among the disciples who would say, "We left all these things to follow you," and our Lord promises that they'll receive it all back with persecution. James received him not, at least not yet. For in John's gospel, when the Jews sought to kill Jesus, his brothers told him to leave, not to save Jesus' life, but to save their own life. Yes, he who even loves his own life and does not hate it for Christ's sake cannot be his disciple. They loved their own lives more than Christ, and John tells us not even his brothers believed in him. James of Nazareth, James born of his mother, born of the flesh, and that which gives birth to flesh is flesh, after all. Came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And thanks be to God that the Lord knows his own, his sheep hear his voice, and the kingdom of heaven comes. The Son of Mary is crucified for the sins of the whole world, for the sins of James. And that is of first importance. No matter what town or Nazareth you come from, no matter what fears you hold in your heart, no matter your missed opportunities to stand with Jesus, it is of first importance that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Always a brother, James, also a child of God. always a brother, but now a witness of the resurrected Christ, a pillar of the church by God's grace. He was given to confess Christ in Jerusalem at the council, confessing that no matter the family, no matter the hometown, no matter the household, Jew and Gentile have been called to this family to be children of God. He inherited that family, having forsaken all others to follow Christ. And he inherited the gift of persecution, as he is a martyr of the church. And even in his death, he confessed what that kingdom of heaven and that family of God is all about. Not in doubt, tossed along by all the stormy seas of hometowns and of loss of life, but on the sure and certain word of God, so that he can say of such persecution, "Count it all joys, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." In Jesus' name.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, we humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Send forth laborers into your harvest and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people and the gospel preached to all the world. Lord, in your mercy. Bestow your grace, O Lord, on all the nations of the earth. Give us leaders who will uphold the laws of the land and defend us from enemies inside and outside our borders. Guard and protect us during the upcoming election, that we may remain a nation that is united in purpose and free from strife and discord. Lord, in your mercy. According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and in peace. Lord, in your mercy. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity. Grant them healing, strength, comfort, and peace, that they may live always by your mercy and grace. Lord, in your mercy.
These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, in the communion of all your saints. Gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.